folks, we have arrived at the day of the match. From what I have gathered, the Crimson Flash and the Jolly Ganders are both Windrider Island teams.
Seems that way. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. You go to school together. So, Mike.
Also, it should be noted that we had been calling them the Crimson Trace.
Crimson Trace.
In between.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're
the Crimson Trace. We had initially called them the Crimson Flash. Then, all of our previous scenes, we called them the Crimson Trace.
I will change all my notes. only matters for this recording anyway.
And now, from this point on, let's go back to Flash.
Let's go back. Now they're the Crimson Dash. There what it up is. Now?
Mm-hmm.
Question about the Crimson Trace. What is the logo for their team?
It's just straight up the Flash. It's just that lightning bolt in a circle.
Great. Yeah.
I like that in switching from the Crimson Flash to the Crimson Trace, I had initially been picturing a beer label and now it's a whiskey label.
Oh.
Done.
Yeah. It is the exact halfway point between the Flash superhero symbol and the Buffalo Trace logo.
There you go.
Which explains the red, white, and brown. So I would like you to each tell me one detail about the Windrider Island, like, official jousting stadium. What does it look like? What makes it special and unique and interesting?
Oh, there's definitely a lot of sky boxes, but that are actual, like, up in the sky boxes for the extremely wealthy. So instead of just being like private rooms within the stadium, it's actually like above the stadium. So you have the best view.
So are these like floating? Like, are they using featherweave somehow to elevate like these stands? Are they ships or are they just built really high?
I think there are tiers.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that are actually just built and you would like take a thing up to, but they are still technically connected to the stadium, would be like the low tier if you are wealthy but not ridiculous. And then the other ones are actual like floating ships that are part of like, oh, we're the ultra elite and we just watch the match basically like if you were watching a football match from the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah. Yeah, there is some privateer company that has skyships that are just stadium seating and like event management ships. So they have like restrooms and like concessions on board and this big open shelf of like seating, and they just fly around and it's just seating.
That's the company that my mom runs.
Oh, yes.
Perfect.
Nice.
Got it. I want the whole thing to be like a big football stadium, like a big, you know, what's what I'm looking for, like an oval. And you know how we mentioned earlier that there are sail-powered monorails
yes.
on the island? I want the family behind the monorails to have lobbied hard to have the ridge at the edge of the stadium be a U-turn for one of the monorails. So it'll occasionally come whipping through and cross the entire line of the stadium and then vanish off into the distance.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. Like, this is the stadium that is branded to this monorail.
I feel like, so we already talked about the stadium being, like, open to the skies, but I feel like there's maybe, like, a ceremony where at the top of the match, there is kind of like an enclosure or a dome that opens up. And so you have like this big ceremony of like, it's time to take flight. And then I think on that, when the jousters are like released and they can like take to the skies, that's when the elevated seats, everybody like rises, takes to the skies at the same moment. And so like everything raises up when it's game time.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, pure opulence.
Yes. Yeah.
And capitalism.
Yes. We could, so we did. And no one stopped us.
There's a halftime show.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And obviously it's going to be a dance troupe led by Rihanna at the halftime show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. They're not even paying Rihanna for this. She's just doing it for exposure.
And
for
honestly,
absolutely sucks. And they're talking about in future years, people will have to pay to be the halftime act.
Yeah.
There are, I drew randomly the three match types that we have access to. Those determine the style of joust that is going to happen. I guess, there we go. Thank you. That determines the style of joust that we're going to be doing. There is Leap of Faith, which is the Tengu Dori. That is the match variant where you will jump, somebody will jump off of their bird onto another bird and have a fight on the back of that bird. Before, like, you know, they have like a minute, 30 seconds to 2 minutes of like fighting time before they have to jump back onto their bird and score up points that way. There is the, and I have names for this. I need to quickly pull this up. Courtesy of KP, who you might know from RPG Circles on Twitter, we have named the long range and short range jousting competition the Kunta Yuta, which is the short range joust that is like the extremely frenetic, birds are constantly circling each other and jockeying for position, happening very close, you trying to line up a good shot and get off as many shots as you possibly can. And the Danorvida. Danorvida is a long-range joust that is like more about subtlety of movement and precise actions. Your birds are kind of hovering there as you are facing off, and you are trying to quickly, smoothly, and elegantly hit your opponent very accurately. And if you dodge, you're trying to dodge moving as little as possible. So those are the three joust types that are available. We already have who you are going to be matched up against. So the question is, who wants to do which joust?
I'd like to take the Tengu Dori.
So Jade is going to be doing Tengu Dori. Who wants to do close range and who wants to do long range?
Well, given that my whole thing is about speed of, like, closing distance, probably the long range.
Fair. My weapon is a crossbow, so.
I mean, you can still do a crossbow long range. That makes sense to me.
No, John was saying he wants long range, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll make it work either. It's fine.
Well, close range is the fast one.
It's fine. I'll take close range.
Okay. All right.
If you're curious, I did suss out the details we were discussing regarding the frogs.
Oh, who messed up?
Dimitri.
The tiny one.
Ah, yes.
And with Trance, the new captain.
Wait, they changed captains?
A shift in leadership.
Huh.
Guess who's upset?
Oh, I couldn't possibly imagine.
It's most of the Honoré family. But most importantly, I forget what title she had. I think she was a countess or something.
They just said matriarch of the Honoré family.
Yeah. The matriarch.
One
more thing. This did cost me a little.
Oh, what do we owe?
No. Nothing so complicated. And he flips the bottle cap like a coin.
What did you do?
Why do you have an Okus? Where
fellows,
did this Okus
I'm going to be taking
from?
A dive.
Ugh. Okay. So when
I count on your experience and my brewing expertise to win the day.
But could you give us a bit of a heads up and when you intend to be implementing said dive? I don't want to be caught too off guard.
Well, actually, that leads me to a question about how this works. Mm-hmm. Not the Okus, but the match. We have to battle our jousting partners, yes?
Yes.
What happens if something else happens? Like a stray javelin?
What do you mean?
Like, what happens if I can't take a dive because she's already gone down because someone else threw a javelin at her?
I feel like your round would not be counted, you know, because somebody would be injured before the match.
I see. Okay.
Since we are about to head into the match, let's look at our traits really quick, and I will ask you the question, does anybody feel like they have fulfilled any of their traits? And that is, brought it into the narration, brought it into the game in a way that it impacted the story? If so, we will resolve that trait, and you will be awarded a spirit for it.
I mean, I tried to do both of my scenes as one of them. So the school one being the team heartthrob pandering to the crowd, and then being indispensable when I met Phileas talking about being in charge of the team and
whatnot. Yeah. I could buy that. Let me see. Why does everyone know you are indispensable to the team? What secret wish are you waiting for the right time to pursue? And Phileas definitely needed to know about that boon. So yeah, I will say that indispensable is absolutely fulfilled. For this, you can choose whether that is a complete story and you are done with that trait. If so, you will, when we play next time, you'll pick a new trait to replace it, and you will be awarded a spirit and a fight for having fully fulfilled the trait. If you feel like there's still more to tell with that story, you will be awarded a spirit, but you will also take a condition that you will choose going into this. The conditions are listed in the drop-down menu underneath. They'll have a little C colon before them, and they are as follows. They are burned out, injured, furious, lonely, awaiting judgment, thankful, mental block, guilty, holding it in the limelight at a crossroad, worried for someone, unbearably bored, a gentle heartache, ruffled feathers, and hoarding favors. Decide like whether that is fulfilled, and that goes both for indispensable and teen heartthrob. Do you feel like there are more for both of those tales, or are they pretty much donezo?
I think both of them are good to stay, mm-hmm. actually.
That makes sense to me.
I feel like I've maybe took one. I guess I learned a weakness in my opponent, but I don't think I fulfilled either one yet. So, y'all.
Okay. Perfect.
And I, excuse me. I was shooting for bad habits in my scene, mm-hmm. which is being impulsive and not really thinking ahead as much as he should.
That makes absolute sense to me. So choose your conditions. These conditions don't necessarily have like a mechanical impact on the game. They can be fulfilled the way traits are fulfilled. But like, it is mostly, this is to inform your roleplay, to add a little bit of spice to what we're doing in the match.
Yeah, with the Dark Relic one, I know I want to work that in with my alcohol somehow, but I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Of course. All right, so yeah, then Verse is going to get one spirit. I've right now marked Skeen down for two spirit, and I've marked Jade down for one spirit. So just grab a condition that you like. I don't think these gotcha. Are mutually exclusive, so I think everybody can have like the same condition if they like them. But once you find appropriate conditions, we will go into the match. And again, we'll be moving back and forth. My advice is to decide one or two of you should do a match game first, so we know how that goes, and have the other two have the others do match moments, just so that there is at least one unassigned match game at the end in case you need gotcha. To do not like this. And the last piece of advice that I will give you is tactical advice. When you play this out, the fight and spirit that you have generated does carry over to your next match. So the fewer resources you have here, the more resources that you will have going into your next match. That is something that your opponents also know. And like I said, when we do the PvPs, that's real. That determines who moves forward. So the more resources you have, the more likely you are to continue advancing in the tournament.
Did I miss a way to get fight at some point? I didn't.
Fight was having trouble hurled against you. And
oh, right. I never got any trouble.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Trouble can happen during the match itself. That can be your match moment. A match moment can be, oh no, my saddle broke or whatever. And also, you can get fight by having a special moment with your bird.
Oh, okay.
Which can also happen during the match, or you can flash back to it, too.
I want to accomplish one of my primary goals, which means I want to call a team meeting right away.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is the dissemination of alcohol.
Oh, okay. So this is just a... I mean, it's Windrider Island, so I'll bet it is legal right now in this mm-hmm. match to use your bruise. So,
oh yeah, like I mentioned earlier, one of his long-term goals is for this to be so useful that it's illegal next year.
Mm-hmm.
That said, it only will provide role-playing goals to people. I'm just putting potions in hands.
Yeah.
So what does the drink look like and what is it intended to do?
For Jade, I know you need to get up close and dirty. Please, enjoy a blood and sand. It'll amplify your fighting spirit.
Oh, well, I've been concentrating so much on my writing spirit the last week. I don't know if I have time for more spirit, but we'll put this to use for sure. Thank you. Blood and sand?
A blood and sand. It's a real scotch cocktail with blood orange juice and cherry liqueur.
It is a great drink. Love that. Mm-hmm.
And for skein, a poinsettia. We've been doing a lot of flower cocktails recently.
Well, you know, I do like a little herb.
It is an herbaceous cocktail. It will just bring a little extra to your line of sight. For you, the horizon is 15% farther away now.
Fabulous.
Or at least it will be when you imbibe.
And how long?
And remember, everyone, labels out.
Mm-hmm.
Labels out.
Everyone wants to see the flying garnish on the side.
Mm-hmm. Present, always be presenting. Jade does like a Vanna White sort of like, check this out to the bottle. But then how long do these boons last for?
As long as would be narratively appropriate, right. Effectively. If they do something extremely dramatic, then they should only last a couple seconds. If it's just a little tiny buff, it could last the whole battle.
Great. Amazing.
Excellent. Then we are ready to begin. And let's start with opening moves. This will determine who has the upper hand. The rival team, how are the rivals feeling and looking as this matchup is about to begin? Like, everybody steps out onto the pitch. They've just done this ceremony to raise the stands, open the dome. Like, the birds are exposed to the, like, lit evening air. You can hear the roar of the crowd around you. You can hear the vuvuzela equivalent that has been handed out courtesy of your distillery. I think it's like worse than vuvuzela. I feel like it's a mix between a bagpipe and a vuvuzela. So it is just like an absolutely mind-numbing drone that is coming from the stands. I kind of feel like Barry is just out there with a completely empty-headed confidence. You know, he's a jock to his deep core who has been hanging out with Jade the whole week, just, you know, drinking in the satisfaction of being seen with like one of the most like admired and attractive people in school. There are all sorts of rumors flying around. Who cares that this person has been gritting their teeth and smiling through the drudgery of hanging out with him? He feels like he's in for a good match. Constance has like that, you know, ineffable, like mysterious quality to her that she always does. She does shoot a wink over at one of her opponents in particular. And I think like watching from the sidelines is like some extremely dangerous looking bookie. And finally, we have Arthur. I think this is somebody. Just actually, I want you to describe Arthur. John, what does Arthur look like?
Arthur looks like the poor man's skein. Clothes just like similar, but a little less nice, and hair that is gotten just a little too shaggy. Like, you can tell they had shaved the sides, but it's just sort of grown, and now you've just got like a mop on top, but it's still growing out on the sides.
Oh geez.
And it definitely looks like Arthur, while coming out, has that sense of like, oh, I'm, you know, team captain and I belong here and everything, but there's just, you know, the second he catches Skeen's eye, there is that little bit of doubt mm-hmm. in Arthur.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So, you know, there's a mix of confidence and sort of accepting the fate.
Plus Barry.
Yeah. Plus Barry. Well, Barry's got the confidence.
My boy Barry.
Who will face off first of your team? Who's stepping up to do the first match?
Oh, I think I probably should, right? If we're, yeah.
Sure.
That seems reasonable.
So, yeah.
Okay.
How do you step up to face your opponent?
Crossbow in one hand, other hand beckoning outward, and he's going to return the wink.
Okay, perfect.
Rising up on Drift, his hummingbird. As you'll note, Drift is not especially fast, but is a hummingbird and is stable, can hover, can even fly backwards, just slow to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going up, I guess she's riding a Swift. You know, this is not mm-hmm. a match that is made for that. But I can't remember. Swifts are those birds that have like the transforming tails, right? They can reshape them to different. I'm pretty sure it's either a swift or a kite. But they have tails that they can change the shape of those feathers, whether they need to do something like hover to ride thermals or do a lot of like diving and whatnot. So if that's a swift, hey, I'm glad that I remember that. And if that's a kite, shh, whatever, shut up. I don't care.
It's a kite swift.
Yeah.
So there's somebody listening to this right now that was just like, was about to be like, that's not a, oh, he told me to shut up.
I know okay. so much actually, about birds actually, and I'm no. mad. Brennan Lee Mulligan is out there listening to
Brennan
this right
Lee
now.
Mulligan, so angry at the
furious.
Misplaced bird fact.
He's
oh, come
furious.
On. Imagine how mad they're going to be at the concept of a giant hummingbird still working.
Well, I mean, hey, this is always how I frame Skyjacks. I put a lot of effort into figuring out how feather weave works and how it would allow a giant ship to both float and move in a way that, despite magic, works within like the physics of that magic. And giant birds can fly because shut up.
Yeah.
So we are going to continue through opening moves. Flip this card. Okay.
Actually, I want to add something to that. When I'm extending the hand outward,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a flower in it.
Oh.
So I'm extending I'll sort of show it, wave it around to the crowd, and then just sort of loft it in her direction.
I think the wind carries it. She catches it gracefully, and like she'll sniff it, and the feather, some petals will have dislodged and fly up towards the stands. Mm-hmm. The crowd eats it up. They love it. This is, and like, you know, you've got the commentators going, well, it seems like there's some romance that's hit the field this day. An exciting thing to watch for sure. Hopefully it doesn't get in the way of competition. Moving on through opening moves, starting with the person who is competing first, each teammate describes what they are doing as the first face-off goes underway. So the screen is going to split into three. I just want to know what it looks like as you are saddling up on your birds as you take to the sky.
Oh, starting with me, of course. The big thing with him is he doesn't really use a saddle, more like ski boot attachments. Mm-hmm. So you see his feet clicking into position and a bridle being lifted up because he stands and holds from that position.
Yeah.
So you'll see his feet kind of dramatically going click, click, and then the bridle lift up with one hand, the crossbow being pulled out of its boot mount with the other.
So yeah, the hummingbird like just goes straight up into the sky.
Oh yeah, just takes off vertically from where it is.
Next, Tyler, the question that I have for you in your Tengu Dori match, are you going to be defense or offense?
100% offense.
Okay. Yes. So that means your opponent is probably going to be flying with a bird that they are not familiar with. Yeah, Barry is forced onto a larger bird for this competition. I think it's a swan. You know, like, they're still rich. It's still an opulent bird. But swans don't go very fast. Barry is forced into defense, which he's, like, probably wearing bulky armor and not quite used to it. What does it look like as you prepare for Tengu Dori on offense?
Sky Joust!
Sky Joust!
What does it look like as I'm getting ready to go on offense?
Yeah, as like you take to the sky. This is like just the second before like the opening bell of the match is like you take to the sky and you're like waiting in the tense moment as the competition's about to begin.
I think there's like a level of like there's like trotting that turns into running, and then there's like kind of like a triple jump. Whimsy like leaves the ground. And then, like, every single one, like, is just so graceful. The Whimsy is 100% an extension of Jade. And then on the third, they do a move where they leave the ground, and probably as soon as is safe for, like, this move to happen, they rocket forward as they like one full corkscrew into the air, and then they sort of like unwind into like a big like full wingspan, and then like the full like flap into the air, and then we're off. So it's more of like it's less of a straight up and more of like a diagonal let's make this pretty.
That's great. And Skeen
walks out playing to the crowd before getting on Royal, his Peregrine Falcon, waving, and as he mounts up, throws some of the swag that they have to the audience, and then shows them, you know, label out, takes a big drink, dramatically wipes his mouth, and then, like, crushes it and throws it to the ground, and gets on the bird. It begins to lift, and as it does, he just sits, eyes closed, as he gets higher, the wind starts to pick up and blows through him, and then as soon as he reaches the altitude for the match, his eyes snap open, focused, and the lance falls down at the same time.
Perfect.
Yep.
So I have just drawn for your characters on this, and you are at a crossroads. I drew a four, and a three. The way this initial setup match game works is if you've got 12 or greater, your team has momentum. Momentum is essentially a tiebreaker. So if you go into this, if there are any head-to-head things where there is a tie, if you lose this, ties will go to your opponents. If you win this, ties will go to you. But this winning this will not count as a point in and of itself. Right now, you are behind by one. One of you could spend one of your fight and make it so that you will win ties, or you could decide we don't need that going in. But it will mean that your team is starting on a back foot for whatever reason.
I'm spending the fight.
All right. So on a win, the player with the highest card will describe how the team has the edge. But since we've got that, I am actually just going to give it to Tyler. Please tell us, Tyler, how does this like what makes it so that your team has the edge in this competition already from the very beginning of this fight?
Is giving our birds some kind of like one of versus concoctions, is that something that is in line with what you got planned for your character, man?
I have no problem with it.
It feels like, I don't know, something that it's either we put something in their like their drinks, or like it's something that is more like vaporizes, and so it's like, hey, just breathe this and like give them
we're just bird doping.
Yes.
If we want to do that, we could. And the way it would work is we'd keep birdseed the way people keep pickles in a brine.
Mm. Ah.
And then you'd pull out what is effectively an infused seed, like a giant fist-sized seed, and flick it into their mouth.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Oh, no.
I love that. Like Popeye with spinach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You see that like ruffle through their feathers into their wings, and like suddenly it doesn't matter what species of bird they are. They take off like that. They are just moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do want to suggest, though, that is alcohol. It is a potion. That's the sort of thing that would look super cool but might generate trouble down the line. Might not be the healthiest thing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like one, if not all of our birds are addicted to this at this point. We'll be addicted to this at this point.
So with that, we're beginning. Who wants to do a match game first and who wants to do a match moment first?
I'll go.
There we go.
So
volunteering.
Yeah. So then a match game.
Okay. You're going to do a match game. Yeah. Jeff, do you want to do game or moment?
I'll do moment.
All right. And John, game or moment?
I will do game.
Okay, so two games, and Jeff will be finishing off in games. Perfect. So, Tyler, I am going to go over to your sheet here and bring everybody over with you. So, you have that lineup in front of you of which games you can choose from. You can either do Look at Me Now, I Can Do More, Head to Head, or Dancing on Air.
Yeah, I guess we're doing, I Can Do More.
I Can Do More.
Yeah.
And I will grab this, and oh, that reveals for the next matches, extra credit will be available, which is your team game. So that's a little bit of a special one. So think about when you may want to deploy that. But I Can Do More. I can make an impact, you'll see. We're playing to find out how far you would push yourself for victory. You flash back to a moment that you fell short. Can you tell us about a moment that Jade has fallen short recently? This can be in a competition context. This can also be in a personal life context. It's up to you, Tyler, and what you would like to do.
Let's see. This kind of just goes to a moment where Jade is kind of taking in their options for like, what do we do after school? Like, what are my projections? What is my trajectory? And they're kind of like just taking it as like, well, I used to dance and Jade sustained an ankle injury that was kind of like the first thing that like took her out of dance and gave her the time to be like, what's this jousting thing about? Because I think she's always going to be an opportunist and like, I'm going to find something that I can be the absolute best at. And now I have like a busted ankle. So like dance isn't going to be it. So what's this sky jousting thing? And I think this is, she's kind of like taking in like, yeah, she's good, but she's not going to be like a professional jouster once she gets out of school. She doesn't like, that's not where her head's at. She doesn't have like the true, she just sees like, this isn't for me. And so she's kind of like, the clothing line is what she's aiming for, but it's also kind of like, you know, a little bit of a shot in the dark. So it's like, I'm kind of gambling on this. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I know I'm going to leave jousting, but I don't know what's going to happen afterwards. So I kind of need to become like a presence from this tournament. I need people to remember me because afterwards I'm going to make an announcement of my line and like, that's going to be my thing. So I need this to work. I need to like, really just kind of just beat Barry down because people are going to be like, hey, who completely fucked up Barry? Oh, that's right. Jade Wolf. Oh yeah. You know, she started her line recently. So it's like a lot of things are riding on this.
So I think it is your friend Maxwell in the stands, your friend Maxwell, who is right now sitting next to Salieri, who is like in silver chains. Like, you know, he's just been purchased by Barry's family, his debt to society. So he's like palling around and like, this is one of his first major outings. And because you have been friends with Barry this week, your friend is sitting next to him and like trying to gain interest. And so you shoot a look over to the stands and you're supposed to ask someone with a look, how far should I go for victory? Turning back to you is Maxwell. What is Maxwell saying to you right now?
I think Maxwell is kind of having this conversation of like with Salieri, and Salieri is making he's not hiding it. He hates being in the pleasant like family household, like, and so I Maxwell is gleaming from that, like, the best way to get through to Salieri is to destroy Barry. And so, like, to the effect of like looking at Jade and giving, like, you know, thumb crossing over neck, like, end him. It's like, mm-hmm. like, bury this guy.
Yeah. So you're ramping up. You've got to beat your rival's total value to win, but if you spend too much energy, you lose automatically. The rival team is going to draw three cards, reveal the first two cards, but leave a third face down, and answer a headway or setback on the reveal cards to set up the moment. So I am going to draw two cards here, and I'm going to make them big enough so that they are legible.
Yeah, this is like the okay. third three time and a I've five. Used roll 20.
Okay, and I just need to read how this plays out to gain an idea of how good I am. Okay, so if you draw an extra energy card, you would exhaust yourself and lose the point. How did you push too hard? Otherwise, you decide to stop drawing, reveal your opponent's final card, add the cards to each side together to compare their value, the side with the higher. Okay. You will draw two cards, and you're trying to get a higher value. But if you draw an energy card, it could be an extra energy card. It could be trouble for you. Okay.
Two cards and then just keep drawing, but in the additional cards if you draw an energy. So not the initial cards.
Okay. So right now, your opponent publicly has eight, and I'll draw two cards for you. Okay. Looks like you both have eight. I am now going to navigate over to secretly another window that you cannot see, and I will know what your opponent has.
Show me the screen, James.
Give me the screen.
Show me the screen.
Okay, so I know how much you would technically need to beat this person.
Just for us, the card numbers go up to...
They go up to six.
Okay. Six is the highest.
Six is energized. Yeah, six is absolutely the highest that this can go, and there are four suits. There are energy, prowess, focus, and connection. I think, let's see, whose advice do you instinctively follow? How do you take a hard hit to secure a path forward? What catches you by surprise? Who do you underestimate? I think I'm going to answer a setback question for Barry. Barry has felt like a sucker to me this entire time. Mm-hmm. who do I underestimate? It's Jade. Barry has thought this whole time that Jade was into him and would go easy on him during this match. And the reason that he thinks that this will happen is throughout the week, he has laughed, "We're becoming such good friends. It'd be funny if you went easy on me during the match."
Stop and he's saying said that.
Like a dozen different times. So he thinks that this is going to be easy, and like he's flying on this goose that he's not really prepared for. He drew a bad lot in getting defense. He's got this thick, heavy sand armor that he's wearing, and he's looking at your bird through like the visor of like this helmet. And like we can hear his breathing in it and how like flustered and overwhelmed he is. And then your bird takes off, like, after eating this bird seed. And he's looking around. He cannot see you. And, like, a shadow descends from the skies. And you have already landed. And he is already on the defense. He sloppily, like, draws a sword to defend himself as, like, one of your fans is, like, moving around to batter him. He is completely on his back foot. He's overwhelmed. He doesn't know which way to look. He doesn't know how you're coming from. I think his helmet has like dislodged a little bit and he's not seeing properly. So he is absolutely on the back foot right now. So now we will go, okay, draw two cards plus spirit and reveal them. You may draw and reveal as many additional cards at one time as you like. For each answer, ask, how are you pushing even harder? So, Tyler, given that you are tied right now and that you don't know the secret final card that Barry has drawn, how many more would you like to draw? And for each one, we'll ask you the question of how are you pushing yourself farther?
And I set how many I'm drawing now. It's not
You could say, hey, draw 10 cards for me. And I would draw them for you. The danger is if you draw an energy card, it'll be trouble. But you do have to beat Barry's number to win.
Okay. And do we have an idea of how many energy cards are in this deck?
It's an even number for all the other cards. So far, two energy cards have been drawn here.
All right, so.
And if I go over to opening moves were played on, I think the third sheet, was it?
And if you want to spend spirit, you can draw a card without worrying about the whole energy loss thing.
Gotcha.
Okay, so it looks like one other energy card. So three energy cards total have been drawn so far.
All right. I will draw two more cards.
Two more cards. All right. One. And you're just drawing without spirit, correct?
I'm drawing without spirit.
Okay. One. Prowess. Hey. Five.
Well, first, how are you pushing even harder?
Yeah, I think like right out of the gate, I think Jade has resolved to is like, all right, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. This dude doesn't stand a chance. He's a chump. He's a little chump. And we're going to make chump change out of him. But the thing that Jade is like, I'm going to beat him so quickly that I will be like, if I don't set a record, people are going to be like, man, start and stop finish. That hasn't happened in a long time. So I'm going to dose my bird, and I'm going to get over to him right now, and we're going to finish this right as it starts. And so I think Jade comes in kind of like swinging like haymakers right out the gate. So I think maybe that opens them up to like retaliation, but we're like, we're going to end this now.
Excellent.
And I think one of the ways they're doing that, like Jade has like two fan blades can slice. But I think for this, Jade has like taken one and collapsed it so that she's just going to try and bludgeon Barry across the head, like right out the gate.
Excellent. Oh, and it is an energy.
So this energy, if you draw an energy card, you exhaust yourself and lose the point. Dang. All right.
Which the other card that was drawn was a two. So you had one at the first draw.
Okay.
I do want to point out that it does say reveal as many cards one at a time as you like, not say how many cards you want to draw
That is true.
I've removed the card.
Tyler, now that you already have the information, do you want to keep drawing?
wait, hang on.
I can draw a different card for your opponent. I can draw a different card for your opponent right now.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. We're playing by the rules, sort of.
With an asterisk.
Tyler, would you like to draw an additional card?
Rainy sidewalk lit by street light. Everybody stayed at home. But I am walking through the storm. My hands are cold, my heart is warm. Will not spend another day alone. When the summer leaves start turning red, I will build a castle in my head. Up on the parapets to see the moon rise, watch the sunset. I know you'll be waiting for me when this frigid, awful story ends. And promise we'll be friends when the summer comes.
Thank you.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.